You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with former NYPD Captain JC. Enjoy the show. Antifa has really ratcheted up their tactics lately. They're now training with battle rifles. It looks like they're preparing for war. I don't think Trump would let them go unchecked for too long before he called in the military. But what about when the pendulum swings back to the left? Does that worry you?
I don't really think the pendulum swung too far to the right, to be honest with you. They're being allowed more and more to do what they want. Our favored government institutions that used to be impeccable, untouchable, trustworthy, whatever words you want to use, such as, I remember when I was a kid, the IRS, nobody liked them, but they were straight as an arrow, so people trusted them. Does anybody feel that way today? How about the FBI? I've worked with them before, and for the most part, they're super professional, they know their business, but we all see what's going on today. We all see that it seems like every facet of our government has been politicized. And who are the favorites? The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Who are the squeaky, these people? The news controls what we think and say for the most part. Who do they want? It's obvious. They want these Antifa people. They want chaos. They want the left. They want government control. All the things that America is not about is what they want. We have to be realistic about it. I think Trump would like to stop this. I do. I don't know him personally, and I don't happen to have a big trust in anybody up there. But it looks like they're trying to neuter him left and right. Everything he does, either a judge or something comes up to try to stop him from what he's doing. And these Antifa people and Black Lives Matter and whatever else, it's all anti-American, and they're being protected. So they have a free ride, a lot like it seems like Muslim terrorists have kind of a free ride over in Europe. It's starting to turn that way here. This Antifa and the left has that same freedom here because the press doesn't say what they do. And if you protest against them or you protest that you want, you know, you believe in the Second Amendment or you believe in religious freedom and you drop a crumb on the floor, they're going to call you hateful and everything else. And these people do whatever they want. And nobody cares. It's scary. And one quick thing, this left-right business, that's what I'm trying to tell you about, how the news and the media makes us think the way they want us to think. The left and the right is presented by the news media as the left being somewhat like Stalin and the right being Hitler. That's an absolute unmitigated lie. Stalin and Hitler were birds of a feather. Same thing. The Nazi party was a nationalist socialist party. They're socialists. It's the same concept. They just both wanted to rule the world. The right, all the way to the right, is simply no government. All the way to the left is total government control. All the way to the right means anarchy. America has always been a little bit right of center. I mean, you have some government, but they're not involved in every facet of your life. The news media, Hollywood, globalist, everybody today wants that power in the hands of a few all the way to the left. And that's what these people are. And they may be pawns, they may be fools, they may be just deluded kids who have been taught nonsense in our schools, but the people that run them and support them and fund them, they're not good people.
The concept of selective enforcement, that's not new. Baltimore's mayor told officers to give BLM room to be destructive, and San Jose's mayor, back during the campaigns, told police to stand down at a Trump rally, which resulted in the unabated assault of several Trump supporters. Suppose we had something like that on a national level, where you've got a far left president telling law enforcement to stand down and let Antifa basically go wild. What do you think that would look like?
First off, that's disgusting. Every police officer in this country swears an oath to uphold the Constitution. And our job is to serve and to protect anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. And to pick and choose like that, our leaders. Why does this happen? Because we do it. We follow these crazy orders. People need to step up. If everybody steps up, they won't be the only ones taking a hit. Sometimes you have to do what's right. And that's a tough one today. It's just unbelievable that a person in that position who gets paid, who's sworn to take care of all the people, puts their party politics, because that's all this is. It's all about their own politics. They don't care about us. It's nuts that anybody could do that, and that a police chief or a police officer could follow that order is crazy too. You enforce the law, period.
Could you see something like this devolving into a full-scale civil war?
I don't believe the left really wants a civil war. They want to take over without firing a shot, and they're doing a pretty good job about it now. They own the media. They own our schools. And they everything we see, everything we learn, all they got to do is wait a few years, and our kids are going to be just a bunch of idiots like Antifa. I mean, at the rate we're going, if we don't stand up and change this, they're not going to need to fire a shot. They don't want a civil war. Look at those Antifa people. You ever see when anybody stands up against them? They don't want to fight a good old boy from Arkansas. I think 10 Marines, 10 real Marines will wipe out Antifa. It's a joke. And they don't want that fight. As much as they're organized, their heart is just garbage. And I don't think there's any chance that especially at this point, if they started a civil war, they would get, I think they would lose. The problem is we don't realize how tenuous the situation is. It's that close. If they take over Florida or Texas, we're never going to have a conservative president or anything ever again. It's over. And once that happens, you think Obamacare is bad. It's going to be single payer. It's going to be, you're going to lose your guns. You're going to lose a ton of your freedoms because that's what they want. They tell us that. This isn't something that's secret. They tell us what they want to do every time. And we just don't pay attention. Or the people that do, they don't care. We don't fight for our schools. We don't fight in our churches. It seems like the good people today are the people that know what's what. They just don't stand up. They don't want to be called names or racist or pick a word that they use today to make you back off. That's where we're at. This certainly isn't 1950s America, that's for sure.
Of course, we've certainly seen communist revolutions in the past, and that's what this looks like. You may be right. They may be able to pull it off without a shot, but then they may end up hitting some resistance. And given the level of complacency that you just laid out about how Christians have just rolled over and said nothing about the Bibles being jerked out of school or prayer out of school, it's rare to even hear of a Christian that's ever picketed or protested abortion. It's possible that the left could look at that and say, this might not be so hard. If we have to take them on in a hot war, we could do it. And it certainly looks like they're sort of mulling that over. So do you think that's something that we should be thinking about? You know, the logistical challenges of an internal conflict?
I'll be honest, that's way beyond my pay grade in a lot of ways, because I think at the end of the day, where is the American military stand? That's going to be the answer to everything. Where will our United States Marines, where will our Army, where will our Air Force, where will our Navy stand? And at the end of the day, you know, we may have, you know, armament, but if our military is with us, we can't lose. If they're against us, that's one heck of a tough fight, because they got a lot more than an AR and a 9mm, that's for sure.
And they may be divided, you know, like you just said, the police in San Jose and in Baltimore, they did what they were told to do. And, you know, we're going to have, I think, elements in the military that will do what they're told to do. And then I think we're going to have some that are a little bit more like you that are going to say, I'm going to do what's right regardless. And so there may be conflict within the military. And we've certainly seen that in revolutions past as well. And folks start splitting off and taking sides.
It can happen. I pray to God that doesn't happen. I got kids. So do you. You know, it's a scary thing because nothing good could come of that. I mean, even if, let's say it happens and we win, who are we going to put back in the Senate? Who are we going to put back in the House of Representatives? Who are we going to think it's going to happen all over again? I don't understand what's wrong with the world today. I do. We're a proud, foolish people. There's a verse in Ezekiel. It's 16:49. And I believe it's the crux of America's issue today. It says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness." Now, we all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, that God destroyed it for a specific sin. But what caused that sin? And the Bible tells us it's not that sin. There's a reason behind these, why we go the way we go. There's a reason behind our depravity and all the issues that we face. And if, look at those three things. It says pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. My goodness, that's like the perfect description for the United States of America. The poorest of the poor have iPhones and video games and TVs and food. You don't see very many skinny people, even in poor situations. That's not America now. And I believe we've just become, you know, listen, take my guns, take whatever you want, take my freedom. Just make sure you don't take my McDonald's and Netflix. And I know that sounds a little, flippant, but there's a lot of truth behind that. We're just heading down a crazy path. Listen, Christianity today, we're supposed to be the restrainer. We're supposed to be the force for good in this world. And they've cowed us. I'll give you a perfect, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." How many Christians do that? How many Christians do that? How many Christians read their Bible and know what God wants? I'll bet you right now that most people that call themselves Christians, there's more in the last few years that read a book about the blood moons than did the Bible. There's more that know who wrote that book than that Ecclesiastes is. It'll take them a month to find Ecclesiastes in a Bible with an index. It's sad. It's sad. We're complacent, and we shouldn't be. Our faith, our God is awesome. He's given us a book. He tells us exactly what he wants and what he needs and how to make our lives better and how to run our lives. And we just ignore it, even Christians. We don't read our book. We sit up there. We listen to anybody. We listen to somebody up there that just, it doesn't matter what he says, and we go home feeling good about ourselves. It doesn't matter that 18 of the 20 things he said is directly against God's words, but he made us feel good. That's crazy. We're each responsible as Christians, not only to prove all things and hold fast that which is good, but we're commanded in Mark 16 to go into all the world and preach to every creature the gospel. How many Christians do that? How many do you know? Most Christians that I know that say they're Christian will go their entire lives and not tell a living soul about the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, that's madness. That's just madness. And that's part of why our country is heading the way it is that quickly, because we're not holding back the tide. The devil has a plan, and he's got his people, and they're all in. They're all in. We're not. You want to get somebody, throw them off their game or off the Lord, call them a kook or call them a fanatic, and they're like, they get all nervous. You can call me anything you want. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a verse in Proverbs, I think it's 29:25 or 25:29. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. That's the truth. Do right, no matter what, and it'll prevent a lot of this, especially Christians, especially people that know the truth. We got to tell others the truth. It's key. Tell them the truth, believe the truth, and live the truth. Live it. And I think America can change. I think God will bless it. We're a sinful nation. We have a lot of problems. There's no doubt about that. But I'm going to tell you something else. 90% plus of the money and the missionaries that go out into the world and preach the gospel come from the United States of America. So as sinful as we are with abortion, pornography, homosexual marriage, all these things that go against God, as sinful as we are, God is still using this country to get his truth out there. So we need to take that opportunity that he's still given us and run with it and be bold for the Lord. It's in the book. Nowhere in the book does it say, of course it says tell the truth in love. But what kind of love is it if you just let somebody simply walk into hell? What kind of love is that? That's not love. That's cowardice. And unfortunately, a lot of what I see in so-called Christianity, and I'm not trying to insult anybody out here. Maybe I am a little bit. If this is you, step up. We have a great salvation. We have a great Lord. We have, and in this country, we have so many gifts that they don't have in other places. And we do. What do we do with it? We need to do more. We definitely need to step up to the plate and do more.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, campingsurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at campingsurvival.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. And I want to switch gears for a second. I talk a lot on the show about financial preparedness, and some folks follow my advice. They keep their debt low and they're able to save up a significant emergency fund. Others get to a point where they're able to sock away something for retirement. Of course, everyone's looking for the next Google to invest in. Google went public in 2004. It was $85 in the IPO. The stock split in 2015. And so you got two for one. You got two shares for your one share of Google. And now each one of those shares are trading above $1,000. So your single share bought for $85 in 2004 is now worth over $2,000. So, you've got an investment that's going to outperform Google, and it's not regulated by the SEC, so there's no threat of getting hemmed up for insider trading. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Are you talking about my salvation, or are you talking about?
Oh no, I'm talking about this opportunity in the kingdom. Jesus said, "Don't store up treasure on earth where moth and rust can destroy, or thieves break in and steal." But he told us to invest in heaven. And most of us spend less than 100 years on this planet, but sink all of our resources into this realm. On the other hand, we'll be in heaven for 150 million years, and at that point, the eternity will just be getting started. So I think it makes sense financially to put a little something away for that day. And you got a friend. Well, he's actually, and I know him as well. We met him at Bible Absolutely. Study, Hosni. And Hosni, his mother, was housing a bunch of orphans in the streets of Haiti. She was just bringing them in off the streets into her home.
What he's doing is simply awesome.
And then his mother passed away, and Hosni found out about this, and he just, he tried to do things from here, to take care of it from here. And now he's let go of his business, and he's just jumped all in, and he's down there, and he's now taking care of 50 orphans in Haiti. And I'm looking at this from a financial investment of, you know, what's an $85 investment like the IPO of Google. If you invested that in heaven, I'm just thinking Jesus isn't going to allow a company, especially somebody like Google that's, you know, got so many tentacles in the New World Order and government overreach and everything else that they do. I can't imagine that he's going to let a stock like that outperform what that same amount of money would do if you invested that in this orphanage, and what the rewards you're going to reap when you get to heaven, from such an investment. So, tell us that whole story about Hosni, and then we'll talk a little bit about how folks can get involved with them.
Hosni Kazo and his wife, they're just such great people, selfless people. After the earthquake in Haiti years back, his mother was obviously an older woman, kept asking him for a few extras every month, money. And he didn't know why. She didn't even say why. So one day when he went to visit her, he realizes at that point she had 13 children that were orphaned from the earthquake living with her. Well, then she passed, and he simply, he's a Christian. He's a Christian. He believes strongly, and he believed that the Lord put those children in his hands. Today he has 50 kids that he's responsible for. And for the longest time, he's a teacher here in Sebastian. He had his own haircut, his own barbershop, and out of his own money, He supplied everything that he could, but he feels led by the Lord. And you know what? I say that sometimes and I hear it, you know, you don't have to be called. God gave us a call to go into all the world and preach the gospel. If you don't feel called, go do something for God anyway. Believe me, you'll reap the rewards, and it's just what we're supposed to do. But now they've left everything and they're down in Haiti. Now, mind you, you know, he left his steady job. He left his business and gone to Haiti and having faith in God. And they bought a property. They're building an orphanage. And they have 50 children that they're responsible for, and it's growing. And they're going to not only care for them physically, food, clothing, protection, safety, but they're going to get a Bible education. They're going to learn, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to be a light unto a dark place. Haiti's suffered for a long time with that earthquake, and there's a lot of, it's tough down there. And there's light. The light of the gospel is going there. And Hosni and his wife are bringing that. They're giving of themselves. Let me tell you, imagine living here in sunny Florida and all of a sudden the next day, you know, no AC, no McDonald's. Life is a lot harder. And they're doing it because they trust the Lord and they want to do right. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that all Christians need to go to Haiti and start orphanages, but you have two options, I believe. Go or send. And I'm not going to Haiti, to be honest with you. I do my own outreach here, but I'm going to help them. Our Bible study, we have a Bible study, and all the guys got together, and Mark helps him also. And there's nothing like that. That's a reward. Let me tell you something. 100 out of 100 people die, period. You know, everybody that invests in Google and all these people that think they're big shots today and they spit right in the face of God, they're going to have a rude awakening because they're all going to shut their eyes for the last time. And much to their surprise, they're going to open again somewhere else. And boy, is that going to be a bad day. Not Hosni and hopefully not those 50 kids. Imagine, think about that. You know, you invest or you 50 children. Let's say most of them get saved. They're going to be, Hosni's a missionary to Haiti now. What if there's already some of those kids that are saying they want to be pastors? They go out to all Haiti. Imagine the change in a country that's had so many difficulties. If you could get many, many more of them to be saved, how things could be turned around, not just for a day, not for a week, but for eternity. I mean, there's nothing like that. I don't care how much money you make and how much you save. There's nothing like the eternal benefits of leading someone to the Lord. Obviously, the saving part is through Jesus with the Holy Spirit, but he uses us. He tells us. That's how it's done. It's faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So how do they hear it? They hear it from us. And they hear it from Hosni now. And hopefully a bunch more are going to hear it from those kids that otherwise would have a horrific life. And now instead of a horrific life, they're going to be under care. They're going to be loved. They're going to be protected, and they're going to be taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I can't think of any better investment. I really can't. And it's shininglightmission.org. That's the website, shininglightmission.org. You could go there. You could see what they do. You could donate. If you go to the website, it has an address where you could send. It probably works out even better if you just mail it to them because I'm sure all these places where you donate online, they take some. But let me tell you something about Hosni and his charity and his org. And it's 501(c), I believe. It's tax deductible. But more importantly than all of that, listen, that's where all the money goes. He was doing that for years, funding that out of his own pocket. How many people do that? And I know I'm not knocking other missionaries. Anybody that gets up and goes to a foreign land to preach the gospel, more power to you. I love you. But Hosni did that out of his own pocket for years. For years. And, you know, now he needs a little help and backing. And if anybody here listening could help him out, I give you my word that every penny you give him goes to the right place.
And I think that It's very few Christians that actually tithe, which I understand a lot of people think, oh, well, tithing was the law and we're released from the law, and we are. And now it all belongs to Jesus. So, if you don't want to do the tithe, then it's actually 100% of everything you own actually belongs to God because you were bought at a price.
Amen.
And, I think a bare minimum is a tithe, you know, and there's also some thoughts that say, well, tithing predates the law. Because Abraham paid a tithe, and of course Paul exhorted the Christians in all of his epistles to help the other churches that were in a pinch, or to help their brothers and sisters. And these folks are definitely in a pinch right now. These kids are sleeping on little mats on the floor. They're eating, you know, very, very meager meals. At little benches,
Ozzy's changing all that.
Yeah, he is, but it takes resources, it takes funds, and folks can at least tithe. And pastors want to tell people that tithe needs to go to the church to buy new seat cushions and another HD projector and all of that. And if you attend a church, you should attend a church, and you're partially responsible, I think, to help keep cushions and the air conditioner on and the light bill paid and the pastor fed and clothed and housed and things like that. But a lot of this stuff is really, really getting out of control. And we've seen so many things with pastors these days that are getting exorbitant paychecks, and they're getting treated like rock stars, and then when they go out and sleep around on their wife, we're surprised that they're acting like rock stars. Yeah. And we're the
and
ones that were treated like
dollar,
that.
Severance packages, which yep. is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, it really is. And so for full disclosure, we support our church, but I do not give my church 10%. And I'm not saying you could do that. You could do that. You could have a church that's doing everything that really needs that 10%. And I think those churches are out there. They're smaller and they need your 10%. And I think that you can still do more than that. But I'm just saying that 10% is sort of a baseline. That's really where your giving should begin. And if you're having financial difficulties, I think a lot of times that God's just saying, you know what? You're not really doing anything with what I'm giving you now. You're spending it all on yourself, and you're not helping out those that are in need. And so there's not really any reason for me to bless you more. And I'm not trying to preach prosperity gospel here. And I'm not saying that every time everybody that's in a financial dire straits, I'm not saying that that's the only reason that you're in financial dire straits is because God's not blessing you because you're not tithing or above and beyond tithing. But I am saying that I think sometimes that's the cause of that. There's so many big charities that they get so much money and a lot of that gets spent on fluff, and that's not the case with this one. Every dollar you send is going to go directly to helping these kids, and I'm just there's nothing better. And a lot of you guys have been listening to me since I started doing this show 5 years ago, and some of you trust me, and you know that I don't really usually ask you guys for much, and I never ask you anything personally for myself. And I know Hosni personally, and JC has been really, really good friends with him, and JC and his wife have been working with Hosni to help get the website set up and the Facebook set up and to get some things organized, because we're in sort of a small community here, and the church that's supporting Hosni, those folks there, they don't have a whole lot of resources to really get the things done in the timing that they need. These kids are presently, they're having to shower outdoors, and they're in really, really dire conditions. And Hosni's putting in a building. He's bought a property. The first thing he had to do is he had to put up a wall, because all of the supplies that he was putting on the new property were getting stolen. And so, you know, he had to take a lot of the money that he was hoping to be able to put towards building the dormitory to just securing the property so that he can keep the supplies there without them getting stolen. So there's a lot of challenges there, and they really, really need your help. And there's just, I think there's probably no better investment that you can invest in. And this is really going to pay off in the kingdom when you get there. You don't want to show up in the kingdom and spend eternity with nothing but the clothes on your back. You know, I kind of like the good life here. And, you know, I'm only here for, you know, maybe another, if I get another 50 years out of this place, I'll really be doing good. But like I said, 150 million years from now in the kingdom, I will have just scratched the surface of eternity. So I have to ask myself, which side of eternity am I going to live for? And which side of eternity am I going to invest in? And, like JC just mentioned, the website is Shining Light Orphanage. It's shininglightmission.org. And like you said, the best way to make a donation is, and this is for any charity, it's always to send a check, because that's going to save between 3% and 5% on, PayPal fees or credit card fees. And for an orphanage like Shining Light Mission, 3% to 5% is big, because that might mean some kid's going to get meat in their diet instead of just a bowl of oatmeal. It might mean a blanket instead of just a mat on the floor. It might mean a pillow. It could mean so much, that extra 3% to 5%. And I know that it takes a little longer to fill out the check and put the stamp on the envelope and mail it and do all of that kind of stuff. But it's such a small thing, and it means so much to these kids. And if you want to do that, if you want to make a donation by check, you can send that to Shining Light Mission, and that's who you make out the check to, and that's who you address it to. And you mail it to P.O. Box 78168, Sebastian, Florida, 32958. And of course, I'm going to have all of that information in today's show notes at prepperrecon.com. And, I really appreciate anybody that can get involved in this. If you've got mission teams, if your church regularly sends mission teams, particularly if they have construction skills, you can contact me directly at prepperrecon@gmail.com. Also, if maybe you think you're called to go into the mission field, maybe you've retired, you've got the funds and things are pretty good, and you're just thinking that you're tired of sitting around watching TV and you want to do something worthwhile with your retirement. You've still got a lot of life ahead of you, and God's been calling you to the mission field or something. Contact me. I can put you in contact with Hosni, or maybe you got a team that just wants to go now for something short term, or maybe your church, maybe you're a pastor and you're looking for a foreign missions project to support. Once again, contact me. It's prepperrecon@gmail.com, and I'll certainly be more than delighted to get you in contact with Hosni and the Shining Light Mission. And JC, thanks for making time for us today.
Thank you for having me. If I could tell your listeners something, because I know you're all fans of Mark here, but you don't know him personal like I do. He's become one of my closest friends. I want you to know something. Everything you read, everything you hear about him, he walks the walk. He's not doing this, to make a killing. He's not. He's helped me in my Christian walk more than I could ever thank him for. He's an example. He's just top notch. And let me tell you, if you knew me, I don't praise very often. I'm a very private person, and I don't blow sunshine up the wrong places. He is top notch. Him and his family, the way he runs his family, his life, man, it's a breath of fresh air, let me tell you.
Well, thank you so much, JC. And once again, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
The Days of Elijah, Book 3, Angel of the Abyss, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. Everett and Courtney Carroll have endured to the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. The previous seal and trumpet judgments have left the planet in shambles, and the Western Hemisphere is nearly uninhabitable. The prophet Elijah gives Everett a special mission, which will give him a unique role in fulfilling end times prophecy. But he'll have to survive the coming cataclysm cataclysms first, Angelo Luz breaks the treaty he made with the nations, declaring himself to be God. A plague of stinging locusts rises up from the smoke of the bottomless pit, and a 200 million man army of radical jihadists wages a holy war against humanity itself. Everett and Courtney's tribulations thus far have been a walk in the park compared to what's coming. Get your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 3, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, from Amazon.com today.